You're on your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and this week we're pretty much focusing on climate change and how we're going to have an impact, even if with the government committing to 2050 as the carbon neutral kind of timeline, but even on a personal level, what can we be doing to change up our own lifestyles to be a little bit more green? Could buying a more environmentally friendly car be the way? I'm joined by Mark Borlay, Senior Manager of Future Mobility at the RAA. Mark, how's it going?
Very good, thanks, Jordan.
I know we do talk about electric vehicles and I guess hybrids quite a fair bit, but they, compared to your petrol car, your diesel car, they really are more environmentally friendly, aren't they?
Yeah, and so what happens is if we talk about climate change, it's substantially about CO2 or greenhouse gases, and there's really a one-to-one relationship between how much fuel you use and how much carbon you put in the atmosphere. So it is about, from a car's point of view, it's about just not burning fuel. And there are a couple of technologies, obviously, at one end, electricity, which substantially now doesn't burn fuel. There's still gas burnt at the power station, but increasingly that's becoming smaller. Hybrids have the option of storing some of the energy and then burning some when you need it, petrol, etc. But the fundamentals of how you can manage it so you put the least amount of CO2 in the atmosphere comes down to first principles. If you don't have to get in the car, don't. So that's one. Try to package up your trip. So if you've got to pick up the kids from school and you've got to do some groceries and you've got to pick up some dry cleaning, etc., try and make sure as often as possible you do that in the one trip. The biggest step change you can make, obviously, is when you come to buy your new car. Now, the Green Vehicle Guide, published by the government, has the stated fuel consumptions of vehicles, and you can choose from them to see which is the more fuel efficient. But you need to recognise that the number that's put in there comes from a clinical engineering test. It's not the way they're driven in the real world. So whenever you see a number, on average, probably add about 30% to that. So if it says it's going to be 10 litres per 100 k's, it's probably in your hands going to be around 13 litres per 100 k's. So they don't completely reflect it. And the difference between choosing a environmentally good car, like a small combustion engine, compared to a big four-wheel drive, can be a factor of four. So you have to choose wisely. And you know, at the end of the day, you also have to choose a car that suits your needs, because it doesn't matter if you choose it just on fuel consumption. It doesn't suit your needs. You're very quickly going to tire of the car. So that's the major things they can do. LPG used to be a little more green than burning petrol, but increasingly manufacturers aren't making any of those systems available, so that's probably a diminishing option for a lot of people. And what we will start to see is very, very fuel efficient internal combustion engines coming through. So we're starting to see things like 1 litre, 1.4 litre engines that still give you pretty good performance, coming in at around, 3 to 4 litres per 100 k's, which is probably about half of what most people are doing now.
And I guess when it comes to fuel efficiency in the regions, it's obviously very hard to get by without a vehicle, and cars are very much a part of the way of life in regional South Australia. But with fuel efficiency, of course, electric cars are pretty good for that, as far as not using any fuel, really. How far are we away from getting like publicly available charging points for electric vehicles in the regions? Because without them, it's going to be a bit hard to justify having one.
Yeah. Look, the government are about to announce that in the next month, about where the infrastructure is going to be put out into the country. They're saying that to overall throughout the state, they want to have another 550 additional charging points, and the majority of that's going to be in the country. So people will get a higher level of confidence that it's going to be there. But for those who are still driving their internal combustion engine. Just some sort of basic physics, I suppose. Once a car gets to sort of about 60, 70, 80 kilometres an hour, it only needs a little bit of power to keep it there, probably about 10, 15 kilowatts. But the faster you go, the drag on the car, without getting too technical, goes up at the square of the speed. So it isn't, if you're doing 50, the drag is 1, and if you're doing 100, the drag is double that. It's actually the square of that's actually quite large. So what that means is, if you're travelling at 90 k's on a country road, the difference between 90 k's and 100 k's can in some cars be about 3 or 4% fuel consumption. So it's those little things like that. If you can travel a little slower at those higher speeds, you'll save a bit of petrol. But obviously there's other considerations. You don't want to be holding up traffic or, you know, creating another issue. But that's one option if you're happy to do that.
How about travelling behind someone's slipstream on the highway?
That's awkward because normally the distance that you have to travel to get the full slipstream means you won't have enough braking distance. The autonomous truck trials that have been going on around the world, this is where trucks platoon behind each other, so they effectively talk to each other and travel very close. Are designed to do entirely that. So the truck at the front breaks the wind and the other ones behind it tuck in, and that can reduce the fuel consumption of the trailing vehicles sometimes up to 10%. So, yeah, there are advantages to slipstreaming, but in a practical sense, you're travelling too close to be able to do it safely.
Bit too dangerous for the regular driver. Yeah. We're just out of time. Mark, thank you so much for chatting today.
Thanks for your interest, mate.
That was Mark Borlase, Senior Manager of Future Mobility at the RAA on your Classic Hits Breakfast.